impressed by the work that Bertie and his team are doing. And my heart just melted, you know, and I really think that they are doing a wonderful work. It's really very hard work. I don't think I have the grace to be able to do such a work, and with the handicapped people, you know. And I really thank God for Bertie for making time to come here and share with us. Okay, so I want to hand this time over to him. Please join your hands to welcome him.
Thank you very much. A very good morning, brothers in Christ. And it is a joy for me to be here. I would like to first thank the board, the church board, and Pastor Alvin, and of course the members of this church that has given me this opportunity to come and share with you about the work of Eden Handicap Service Center. Actually, Fetish Park Baptist Church is not new to me. And since the time when I was up in Genting Highlands working as a cook, I came here once to minister with a group of brothers and sisters from Genting. That was the first time I came to Fetish Park Baptist Church. After that, when I was with Hiding Place, and I'm sure many of the members here know me, like for example, Mr. and Mrs. Lim San Heng, Sister Lai Chu, and also actually Jeremy, I knew him when he was very young. So many years ago, that I've been here, and I would say I'm thankful to Fetish Park Baptist Church for the good work that you all are doing. So today I would like to share with you about the work of Eden Handicap Service Center. Now, to start off, Eden Handicap Service Center, this word Eden is the equal name for Eden is coined by my wife to educate. So our first goal is to help to train the disabled, to educate them. The second is to develop in areas of limbs, develop in areas of knowledge. And also the third one is employment, to create employment or to channel them out to areas to work. Many of the disabled are left unemployed, and because of that, they can be a problem to society. And the last one is networking. Working with disability is a very complex issue. Eden alone is unable to meet all the needs of the disabled. So we need to network with other organizations so that we are able to help the disabled more effectively. Okay, how Eden Handicap Service Center was started. Many years ago, I was actually working with drug addicts. I'm sure many of you do know the center, the Hiding Place. I was with Hiding Place for 7 years. In that 7 years, there was one addict that came to the center for rehab. He was from Butterworth. After he got himself rehabilitated, completed 1.5 years program, he felt that he wants to go to Bible school. And because he's Mandarin educated, Gideon Koo arranged for him to go to Taiwan Bible School. And it was over at Taiwan that is where he got involved with a handicap work called Eden Social Welfare Foundation. It was from there he caught the burden and the love for the disabled. He even married a wife that is a disabled. As you can see, his wife is on a wheelchair. Her name is Shen Chu Xiang. She's a Taiwanese. So after marrying her, he came back to Penang. And he invited me to team up with him to set up Eden Handicap Service Center. So he and his wife, me and my wife, four of us, we started Eden Handicap Service Center. And that was in the year 1991. So Eden has been existing for the past 20 over years. This is the place where we started. Just a semi-D house. Now, I'd like to mention this. Eden Handicap Service Center is not related to Eden Seafood, Eden Bakery, Eden Construction, Eden Property. No, we are not related to any of these business enterprises. I need to mention this because... Yes, a lot of people thought that. Huh? But sad to say, no, we are not related to any of these business enterprises. We are totally all on our own. As yes, now I shared with you how Eden Handicap Service Center was started. You find that I did not mention Robert Chuan's name. Robert Chuan is the founder of Eden Seafood. Okay, so we are not related at all. Huh? So I made this clear. Now I like to mention this is partly because we have donors coming to me, and he says that before I wanted to come to your place to give a donation. But before I came here, I met a friend. I was telling a friend that, hey, I'm coming to Eden to give some donation. The friend turned to him and says, why do you want to do that for? They are so rich. Oh, we are rich in faith, maybe not in cash. Okay. this is the directors of Eden Handicap. Henry Tong is our chairman. Henry Tong is a lawyer by profession. Dato' Lee Kok An is a businessman by profession. Henry Tong attends Presbyterian Baptist Church. Dato' Lee Kok An is attending Madras Lane Methodist Church. Anthony Tan Antong is now in Singapore pastoring. Okay. Now, our vision, our mission, and our goals. Our vision is enable people with disabilities to lead independent and self-sufficient lives. Our mission, to provide opportunities in education, job training, job placements, independent living skills, and reaching out to them with God's love. In fact, you need God's love to survive in Eden Handicap Service Center. Without God's love, you cannot survive. Our goal, to meet the needs of the total man by providing them opportunity to grow into a balanced individual by ministering to the body, soul, and spirit. I'm sure as Christians, we all know we have these three parts, huh? Body, soul, and spirit. Okay. When Eden Handicap Center first started, neither me nor my friend are disabled. We don't know of any disabled friend. So what we did was we organized fellowship. Every Saturday evenings, there is fellowship in that premise, number one, Jalan Sir Hussein. Whenever we travel along the roads of Penang, we see any disabled, we will stop them and we will tell them, hey, there is this fellowship in number one, Jalan Sir Hussein. Come and join us. Dinner provided. So they came along and then they invite their friends to come along, and that's how we grew. From fellowship, we start organizing outings, activities for them. So from the outings, then after that, we felt that we need to do more than that. A lot of them are uneducated. So then we start to organize English class, Mandarin class. We wanted to start a computer class. We can't because a lot of them are uneducated. So we start off with Mandarin class, English class, and after that, tailoring class and all that. Now, from there, we venture into our children hostel. Okay? Now, firstly, I'd like to mention that in Eden Handicap Service Center, all the services we provide are free. All the services we provide are free. We don't charge them. Okay? The reason we don't want to charge them, because personally for me, I understand how difficult it is for a person or for a couple who has a disabled child. In fact, the way I look at it, when a couple get married, when we have children, our hope is in the children. That one day when I grow old, my children can take care of me. But the minute you have a disabled child, that hope is thrown out the window. The next problem you will be thinking, who is going to take care of that child when I'm no more around? The third problem you will be thinking, shall I try for a second one? If you try for a second one, the second one turns out to be the same as the first. You have double problem. If you don't try, you don't have hope at all. So this is a problem that couples that has disabled child. And it is for reasons like this, I choose not to charge. Eden Handicap Service Center is supposed to be a helping hand. It's supposed to be a shoulder for people who have problems to lean on. Not to be an additional burden. I don't have to charge much. 200 ringgit a person. There are families that are so poor, right? They wouldn't even dare to take up the phone and call Eden Handicap Service Center to inquire. Because they will be thinking, what is the point? We can't afford it. No point calling up and ask. So it is for reasons like this, I choose not to charge, that even there comes a time, if we cannot help, the least we can do is to refer them to other centers. Okay? Now, over here, I'd like to also mention, in Eden Handicap Service Center, basically, we help two types of disabled. Not only I remember, I forgot to mention Pastor Wong. Pastor Wong has been coming to our center to minister regularly, to share to our people in our center. In Eden, we have our morning devotion every day. Every day we have morning devotion, so the people will come and we have to share to the disabled in our center. Okay, in Eden Handicap Service Center, we help basically two types of disabled. Okay, we help the physically handicapped and the intellectually disabled. But from these two types, it's split into different types. Like for example, the physically handicapped. A person can become physically handicapped due to muscle dystrophy, due to accident, muscle dystrophy where the muscle just wastes away. Okay, or due to cerebral palsy. Okay, now maybe I'll try to explain to, I'm sure a lot of you do not understand what cerebral palsy is. Cerebral palsy is like, for example, if this remote control is here and if I want to take the remote control, my brain will tell my hand, you go forward and take the remote control. Alright? That is how we all function. But for a person who suffers from cerebral palsy, that part of the brain is damaged. So when he can be very intelligent, he knows that this is a remote control, he knows what to use it for. But when the brain tries to tell the hand, you go forward and grab this remote control, you will find that the hand will be going something like this. Because the message from the brain to the hand is being disrupted. Because that part of the brain is damaged. Okay? Now, the example I've given you is only the hand. But actually involves the whole body. So when the person tries to walk, he cannot walk properly. His leg tends to cross. Okay? And when he talks, like for example, now that I'm talking to you, I know exactly how to pronounce the words, and I have to vocalize the words exactly so that you can know exactly what I'm trying to tell you. But for a person who suffers from cerebral palsy, they are very intelligent, they are very smart, they know exactly the words, they know exactly how to pronounce the words. But when they try to communicate with you, they'll be going something like this. Why? Because they have problems controlling the movement of the jaws and the movements of their tongue. And because of that, they cannot communicate with you properly. Both parties is frustrated. They are frustrated because you don't seem to understand what I'm trying to tell you. You will be frustrated and you'll be saying, what are you trying to tell me? I don't get what you're trying to tell me. You know? So it is a very sad case of affair and it is no fault of the child. I've shared with you that years ago I was working with drug addicts. Now, last time when I was working with drug addicts and we go around trying to collect donations, sometimes people turn to me and say, we are not going to help them because they asked for it. Well, to a certain extent, they got a point there. But when it comes to disability, it is no fault of the child, nor the parent. A child can become disabled while the child is in the mother's womb. When the child is in the mother's womb, the umbilical cord, cut hold of the throat, insufficient oxygen going to the brain, it causes brain damage. The child becomes disabled. While the child is in the mother's womb, the child is affected by some form of virus or bacteria. The virus or bacteria goes to the brain, affects the brain, the child becomes disabled. No fault of the child, no fault of the parent. But things like this happen. Or when the child is born, after a few months, the child has been affected by some form of virus or bacteria. And the child becomes disabled. I know of a pastor who had a beautiful son, small baby, a beautiful son, but was affected by some bacteria. Today, the child is a vegetable. Can't talk, can't move, nothing. It is a sad case of affair. When I look at all this, especially when I look at the very severely disabled, I can understand why God hated sin. This is what sin does to us. But when I say sin, I don't mean that the parents committed sin. The day sin entered into the world, this is what happens. We inherit all this. And it is a sad case of affair. And that is why I can understand why God hated sin so much. He knew. He knew from the very beginning this is what sin is going to do to us. Right? And well, when I look at a person who is so severely disabled, it really grieves my heart sometimes. Alright? Now, we have a children hostel. The children hostel is open up so that we can house the children. We open up this children hostel because we realize that a lot of disabled children don't go to school. They are stuck at home. Okay, so they don't go to school, and being disabled is bad enough. Not going to school, you don't have any education, no form of training, it becomes a big problem. Because when the child grows up, the child will not know how to take care of himself or herself. I have parents coming to me, asking me, can you help my child? I says, okay, how old is your child? 40 years old. Wow. The next question I ask, does he or she knows how to go to toilet and wash himself on his and her own? The answer is no. I say, boy, no institution will want to take in a disabled of that nature because it can be pretty messy. But how is it that these things happen? Because when the child is young, the parents tend to think, well, what's the point of sending you to school? You are not going to be a lawyer, doctor, or an engineer. You stay at home, and going to school can be pretty inconvenient. So you stay at home. We'll take care of you. You're hungry, we feed you. You dirty yourself, we wash for you. The problem comes when the child is 40 over years old. The parents will most likely be around 60 or 70 plus. That is where it dawns on the parents. Hey, we are going to leave the world soon. Who is going to take care of them? That is when they start to come out and look for help. Well, that is a little bit too late. Because by then, nobody knows how to take care of him. And nobody wants to accept that kind of a messy situation. So the child will end up no one to help. Okay, so that is why we open up the children hostel, is to encourage parents who has disabled child, firstly, to please send them to school. Alright, if they are unable to send them to school, that is where we will bring them into our children hostel. We will send them to schools. So after schooling, we will bring them back, and then they will stay in. And in our hostels, our emphasis is a lot on daily living skills. Teaching them how to wear their clothes, how to button. I'm telling you these things, it might sound very trivial. Wearing clothes? Buttoning? Yes. A person who suffers from cerebral palsy. I had the experience of trying to help a child to wear his t-shirt. It took him 1 hour just to wear a t-shirt. Why? Because his body keeps going like that. Keeps going like that. So he couldn't wear the t-shirt properly. It took him 1 hour just to wear a t-shirt. So we have to train them. So that is what the children hostel does. All the children that's in our children hostel must go to school. So if they suffer from cerebral palsy, they will go to spastic school. If they suffer from mental retardation, then they will go to the school for mental retarded children. Now, let me explain to you about mental retardation. Cerebral palsy affects them physically, but intellectually they are very smart. But when it comes to mental retardation, physically they are very fine. Many of my brothers here, they are actually intellectually disabled. They are mental retarded. So, they look normal, they are very fine. But intellectually, they have been affected. You can teach them A, B, C until Z. At the age of 4, 5, 6. Until the age of 20 over years old, they still cannot tell you A to Z. You can teach them 1, 2, 3 until try to 100. When they reach the age of 20 over, they still cannot tell you 1 to 10. Because intellectually, they have been affected. The brain is damaged in that area. There's nothing anyone can do. Right? That part of the brain is damaged. We can only train them and try to help them the best way we can. But there's nothing else we can do. And for people who have mental retardation, one of their major problems will be to understand the value of money. They will not understand the value of money. You give them 50 ringgit, they will take the 50 ringgit, they see an ice cream store, they will go to an ice cream store, give the 50 ringgit, take an ice cream cone and walk away. Not realizing the ice cream cone doesn't cost 50 ringgit and they are changed. But they don't understand. Right? Because mentally they are affected. Okay, so that is mental retardation. These are some of the children that is with us. So we always want to train them so that they can be educated, so that they can learn to take care of themselves. that they are able to be independent. That is our goal. Okay? Physiotherapy is also a great emphasis in our place. We encourage them to, you know, to have physiotherapy, and my emphasis is they have to do it every day, and one day at least for 2 hours, so that their limbs can be improved. Okay. They all attend schools. When I was very young, my father used to tell me, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. So we make sure that they have a fair share of recreation, a fair share of fun. Okay. Now, in Malaysia, sad to say, all the, we call them special children. All special children go to special schools. Special schools only cater for them until the age of 18. And after that, that's all. And sad to say, a lot of them, they will go home, sit at home, and do nothing. So that is where we open up our training and sheltered workshop. That is where we bring them out again and we train them in area of work. Okay? Because, like, for example, the children hostel, I took in the youngest, 4 years old. Anyone that stays in the children hostel must go to school. The minute they stop schooling, by right, they are supposed to go home. So if I take the child in at 4 years old, that means they will stay at least until the age of 18. 14 years they will be with Eden. So in 14 years, the amount of money, time, energy that has been invested into the child, and after that, we send the child home to sit at home and do nothing, I think that is a big waste. So it's for reasons like this, we open up the training and sheltered workshop. So here we train them in area of work, so that at least they can do something, rather than just sit at home and do nothing. So this is some of the work. So when they come into our hostels, they have to learn to sweep the floor, mop the floor. You see, this is what I have noticed. A lot of parents who has disabled child tends to pamper the child. So tends to think that, oh, they cannot do this, they cannot do that, and tends to do practically everything for them. So the child will just sit around and do nothing. But actually they can. If proper training given, they can. These are some of the trainings we give them. And when once, after training, observation, if they are good, then we will send them out to work. We opened up a women's center recently, not very long ago. Formerly, we only help guys. Sorry, girls. Earlier on, we help only the guys, no girls. But then, I'm thankful to a group of ladies. They call themselves Sorop Tommies. Because I shared with them that my children, the girls, are growing up, and I have no intention of just sending them home and sit around and do nothing. So I felt the need to open up a women's center. So they collect 53,000 to help me kickstart the women's center. So now I have a women's center. The woman and the guys do almost the same thing. The work and all that. So these are some of the work that they are doing. So when once they are able, we'll channel them out to work. Some is working in a factory. Some of them, we refer them to St. Nicholas. If they are blind and all that, normally we will refer them to St. Nicholas. there is this brother working in a petrol kiosk. We try to send them out to work. Okay, we from here, some of them are unable to go out to work, so we create employment for them. And this is one of it, our handicraft unit. So in our handicraft unit, basically run by the girls, and then they do beautiful handicraft work. Very fine handicraft work. This handicraft is made from bread clay and polymer clay. The bread we eat is being converted to clay. But this raw materials comes only from Taiwan or Japan. So it's a little bit expensive. Okay, so these are some of the handicraft work that they do. Okay, then we have the recycling unit. Some of you who are staying in flats or apartments might have experienced our team going to your flats or apartments collecting recyclables. This is another thing that we create employment for them. They are with us, they are paid, they got EPF, got SOXO, all that. So that is where we create, because they can't go out and work. They have difficulty to go out and work because of communication. People will not understand them. And then they have difficulty to understand normal people like you and me. Okay, so that is for reasons like this, they cannot go out and work. So we have this recycling unit, and in our recycling unit, we have the physically handicapped working together with the intellectually disabled. Now, if I were to ask the physically handicapped to carry a whole stack of old newspapers, he can't. He's already physically handicapped. Intellectually, he is good. But the intellectually disabled, if I were to ask him to carry a whole stack of old newspapers, he can. He's very strong, very tough, very mobile. But without proper instructions, like for example, he goes into the lift, he wouldn't know exactly what to do. So we combine the two together. The physically handicapped will instruct the intellectually disabled how to carry out their work. Initially, they have to write on a piece of paper. You go to 1, 3, 5. You go to this one first, then you go to this one, second, third. So you pass the paper to him. The paper he see, 1, 3, 5. He take the paper, he go into the lift. He see one, he press one. That is how it works. But our intellectually disabled, after so many years training with us, working with us, they become so smart that we need normal drivers. We cannot have intellectually disabled driving a lorry. So we have normal drivers. But our normal drivers expect high salaries which we cannot afford to pay. So we have turnover of drivers. So new drivers comes in, the intellectually disabled will sit in the lorry and tell the driver, now, are you go this way? Are you turn left? Are you turn right? Are you stop here? I will go up and bring the recyclable down. Why? Because they are so familiar with the work already. The intellectually, after many years of training, not few weeks, not few months, years of training, then only they become so smart. Okay, these are some of the recyclable items we collect, We collect old clothes, we collect plastic items, we collect aluminium cans, any metal thing, we collect computer papers, we collect old, spoiled, obsolete computers. We collect. We collect electrical items. I like to say spoiled electrical items. We collect. So don't feel bad or feel paiseh. Give to Eden, spoiled item. No, don't worry. We got a way of converting it to cash. Okay? We collect all these items. We collect furnitures. But when it comes to furnitures, sorry, it has to be in good working condition. If your chair or your table short of one leg, sorry, that we cannot take. Because if those chairs or tables short of one leg, we have to dispose it off. We have to dispose it on MPPP ground. We have to pay MPPP to dispose those things. Right, so that we cannot collect, okay? And then, of course, books and all that. Okay, I'm also very thankful to CIMB Foundation. They also gave me 50 over 1,000 to kickstart our cleaning service. Now I've got teams of disabled, intellectually disabled. They go to various offices, factories, apartments, providing cleaning service. So any of you require cleaning service, you can also call us. All these areas I've mentioned, we create employment for them. Because they cannot go out and work. So this is our cleaning service team. I sent two of my staffs to Kuala Lumpur, Chawei, a cleaning service company, and they trained my staffs, two staffs, in cleaning service. After that, they came back. We recruit the intellectually disabled, and then we provide, we started this service. Okay, so these are some of the work that they are doing. Now, we also train them to be independent. Now, at the present moment, this will be something like a future plan, but it's already on the move. Because I'm thankful to a developer who gave me 2 units of flats in Paya Trobong. So now I'm using 1 unit of these flats where the intellectually disabled, I put them to stay there on their own with 1 physically handicapped to oversee them, to make sure that they don't fight, they don't quarrel. Okay? So they are able now to even do cooking on their own, and they take bus from Paya Trobong, come down to our place to work. And then after work, they will take bus to go home. So now they are living independently. And I even heard that they take bus on Sundays, they will take bus to Komta, go jalan-jalan, all that kind of a thing. Okay, so they began to live very independent life. So this is the future plan. That when once I have more and more of this intellectually disabled, I have now only 2 units. When one says, I don't have sufficient units, either we have to rent units, and then so that they can go and stay there. And then, of course, with a physically handicapped to oversee them, to supervise them. Okay, so when there's any problems, then the physically handicapped person will feedback to us. So that is how the thing can grow. So this is our plan. Now, we don't only help within, internal, those that comes to Eden. We also help external, the community. So we have a unit, we call it the community service unit, where we reach out to the disabled. We get sponsors, and then we give away wheelchairs. We get donations for wheelchairs, then we give away wheelchairs. We do visitations in hospitals. That brother receives a pair of spectacles. We also donate. We get sponsors, and then we have this. The kit for hospitals. Because we were told that in general hospitals, there are patients that goes into the general hospitals who don't even have toothbrush or soap. The very poor ones that goes into the general hospitals that don't have toothbrush or soap. So we get sponsors, and then we gather these items and we donate it to the general hospital welfare department. Now, over here, I like to mention, take note of this, just in case if you come across any disabled and you like to help. In our country, these are the rules. Firstly, for a disabled, it is good for them to apply for what we call the OKU card. OKU stands for Orang Kurang Upaya. Okay, the OKU card. Now, why we encourage the disabled to apply for this OKU card? Because there are a lot of benefits that the disabled can enjoy when once they have this OKU card. Like, for example, if they were to travel on a bus, it's on a special rates. If they were to apply for a telephone line, if you use their name to apply for a telephone line, the rental is only 1 ringgit. I think you and I, we got to pay about 20 over ringgit every month for the rental. For them, it's only 1 ringgit. If you and I visited the general hospital, if our patient, we pay 1 ringgit. If we see the specialist, we have to pay 5 ringgit. But for them, it's FOC. They don't have to pay anything. Okay? And if they were to apply for an international passport, it's free. I think for us, we have to pay about 200 ringgit for one international passport. But for them, it's free. Okay? Now, if they are working, and their salary is just above 35 ringgit a month. Just above 35 ringgit a month. Below 1,200 ringgit. They are entitled for a 300 ringgit allowance every month. The last budget announced is increased to 350 ringgit. Okay, starting next year. So they'll be getting from next year onwards 350 ringgit every month. That is one of the reasons why we want to get the disabled to work, so that they can at least have some form of an income. Alright? So these are the benefits the disabled can enjoy. So in case if you meet any disabled, you like to help them, the first question you ask them, do they have an OKU card? If they don't have an OKU card and you like to help them to apply for the OKU card, but you do not know how to go about it, you can always refer them to Eden Handicap. Our services are free. We assist them to apply for this OKU card. So if you like to help them, you can refer them to us. Then we will assist them to apply for this OKU card. Now, we also provide transport. As you can see earlier, we use this kind of transport. I have to literally carry the disabled. So when you literally carry the disabled, actually, it is very dangerous. I had one experience at one time, the early years. There was one disabled on the floor. I have to carry him out onto the wheelchair. I bent down and I tried to carry him and I heard, priak. Thank God it's not my backbone. It's only my pants. So these are things that is very dangerous, okay? But we got no choice. At that time, I don't have a choice. So because we use normal vehicle. But now we have this vehicle. As you can see, this vehicle is a special vehicle with a ramp at the back. right? And the wheelchair can be wheeled into the vehicle. At the present moment, Eden has only two of this vehicle running around Penang, providing free taxi service. Anybody on a wheelchair needs to go to see the doctor, needs to go to the hospital, just give Eden a call. We will drive this vehicle to your house, wheel the person into the car, close it up, send you to the hospital, drop you off, you go and see the doctor while the vehicle go and pick someone else. After you have finished visiting the doctor, you just give the driver a call. The driver will come over, pick you up, and send you home. And it is FOC, free of charge. All we ask is free will donation. Give whatever amount you can afford. Okay? Now, the reason we want to give it free, it is because, firstly, I want to make sure that the very poor also has a chance to access to this service. Firstly. Secondly, I also would like to encourage people to give. Now, when I say the service is free, that doesn't mean you cannot give. Right or not? You can give. Right? And you say, no, I'm very poor. Well, that day I took a bus just from Datuk Kramat Road to Falim. I have to pay 2 ringgit. Bus fare. 2 ringgit. I says, well, you can give. You can give 1 ringgit. You can give 50 cents. Doesn't matter. My objective is to encourage you to give. But as you learn to give, you are poor. I'm sure we remember the story that Jesus says about the old lady, the beggar who gave only 20 pence or something like that. And Jesus says that she gives far more than the rich, right? So the same thing. You just give whatever amount you can afford, right? And if you learn to give, for all I know, you might get well. You might get healed. You might not need my service anymore. Right or not? So learn to give. So this is my objective, to encourage people to learn to give. This service was launched by our Lim Guan Eng. That was in the year 2011. We launched this service. These are some of the people that utilize the service. You can see here there is this elderly man and the elderly lady at the side there. Now, I'm sure that is the wife. And look at the elderly man. I don't think that the wife is able to carry her husband into the car without this kind of a service. And if you are unable to carry the husband into the car, how are you going to see the doctor? How are you going to visit the hospital? Right? So it was because of all these things I'm aware of, that is why I decided to bring in. In fact, when I wanted to bring in this vehicle from Japan, it took me 5 years. 5 years just to bring the two vehicles in. Why? Because in order to import this vehicle, I need AP. So I was told that, I need to write in. I wrote in, I applied for an AP. 1 week later, I received a letter, rejected. I called them up and I says, do you know why I want to bring in this service, this vehicle? No problem. You can apply the second time. Okay, I applied the second time, I wrote in another letter, submitted. 1 week later, I received another letter, rejected. I called them up again. I says, hey, I applied once, you reject. I applied twice, you reject. Do you know why I want to bring in this vehicle or not? They says, no problem, you can apply the third time. I say, no. I'm not going to apply the third time. I'm going to come over, sit down, explain to you exactly why I want to bring in this vehicle. They say, okay. I went over, and that is MITI, Ministry of International Trade and Industry. So I went over, sat down with them, explained everything to them. Then they tell me, okay, you write down all that you have told us. So I came back, I wrote down 5 pages letter. Then I submitted. After submitting the 5 pages letter, 1 week later, I received a letter, approved, 2 AP. But in the letter specifically stated, we will not entertain future requests. I went back to them and I said, let's talk about the whole of Malaysia. Penang alone, 2 vehicles, where got enough? No, they say, no, we want you to create value. I shared this with one of my friends. My friend says, yeah, create value for their pocket. You know, so, but in my heart I was saying, well, since they gave me the 2 AP, I might as well take the 2 AP first. Don't argue with them. So I took the 2 AP, and that is how I have this vehicle. So you'll find that in the year 2011, starting from August, we ferried 248 passengers. 2012, we ferried 936 passengers. 2013, we ferried 1,394 passengers. Now, people call out on many occasions. People call out and say, hey, understand you got this vehicle. Can you help me or not? I've got somebody on a wheelchair I need to send to see the doctor. Say, okay, sure, no problem. When is it? They tell us the date and the time. And on many occasions, our response are, I'm so sorry, it's fully booked. All right? So we are facing this problem. And because of that, now I'm in the process of raising. I want to buy 5 more. I want to buy 5 more. Yes, now they say cannot already, huh? So I want to buy 5 more. So what I did was, I write in another letter to apply for AP. And then I take photographs of all those people that enjoyed the services. And I interview them. I wrote down all their testimonies. And I submitted together. One of the testimony was by a Malay lady. And inside the testimony, the Malay lady says, she was asked this question, how do you get to know of this service? And her reply was, oh, UMNO refer us. I don't know. Maybe that helped. You know? So after submitting the testimony and everything, 1 week later, I received a letter. 5 AP approved. No problem. So I've already got the 5 AP. I also applied for tax exemption. I've already got the tax exemption. Now I cannot say this. Now I need the money. To be honest with you, I've already got the money. Okay? So I cannot say, no, I need the money. Because this year starting, I was on a $1 million project to raise the money for the 5 vehicle. Okay? One vehicle is 150,000. So 5 vehicle will be 750,000. But I put it as 1 million because the 250 has to be used for operating expenses. Petrol, driver salary, maintenance of the vehicle. So I put it as 250. The 250 actually can last me for 2 years if I have that, okay? But I'm very, very thankful to God. I believe that's why when I go through all this, I believe it is the Lord that provides. It is God that provides for all this. Because when I first started this $1 million project, I was thinking to myself, how in the world am I going to raise 1 million? I'm no dato. I don't know any dato. I don't know who can help me, who has the money to provide for all this. So, but anyway, I just trust God. Until there was a point whereby the Wanita Mutiara, the Wanita Mutiara is the exco wives. Wives of exco members, they came to us and they helped. They says they are willing to help me raise for one vehicle. And if they are able to raise for one vehicle, one philanthropist promised that if they are capable of raising for one vehicle, he will top up one vehicle. So when once if they are able to raise for one vehicle, I get 2 for 1. So when I heard them telling me this, there was this thought on my mind. God, you gave me 5 AP. You gave me tax exemption. I don't think you will let me have the money for only 3 vehicle or 2 vehicle. You gave me 5 AP. You will most likely give me the money for 5 vehicle. And God gave the 5 vehicle. I just received a call about 2 days ago. The Wanita Mutiara, they have already raised the funds for 1 vehicle. Okay? And then that means the philanthropist will top up 1 vehicle. We have another man all the way from Kuala Lumpur. We send our newsletter out every day. So he saw our newsletter, has this vehicle on it. He was excited. He came all the way from Kuala Lumpur to see me and to have a look at the vehicle. After he had a look at the vehicle, he went back. He wrote me a check of 150,000. Just like that. I don't know him either. And he chose to remain anonymous. So I cannot tell you who he is. So he's the third one. He's the third one. And then Lions Club of Georgetown has also raised 1 vehicle for me. Rotary Club has also raised 1 vehicle for me. So I have 5 vehicles already. So I thank God for that. But on the 7th December, we are having this is to tie up with the state government. We are having a Let's Walk, Run and Zumba. It is to raise funds for the operating expenses. Okay, for the operating expenses. So anyone participate has to contribute 50 ringgit. We hope that we are able to collect the 50 ringgit sufficient for the operating expenses. So if you feel that you'd like to support us in this area, by all means, join in the Let's Walk Room, Let's Walk, Run and Zumba. Okay? So that we can... anyway, whatever. Now, that's why the next thought on me. God, you provide the 5 AP, you give me the tax exemption. So now you give me the money for the 5 AP. I'm sure you will give me the money for the operating expenses. How it's going to come, I don't know, but I'm just going to trust God. Just like when I first started off, I don't know where the 5 vehicle money is going to come from. But nevertheless, the Lord provide. Huh? Now, Eden is a Christian organization. But I always tell people, Eden is a Christian organization, not because I'm a Christian. You need my help, you must join my religion. You don't want to join my religion? Sorry, I don't want to help you. No. It is not because of that. But Eden is a Christian organization because there are a lot of things I can't give you. There are certain things I can give you, but there are a lot of things I still can't give you. Like, for example, you need a wheelchair. That maybe I can help. You need a place to stay. That maybe I can help. You need food to eat. That maybe I can help. But if you need peace and joy, that I can't give. Only God can give. And the peace and joy I'm talking about is very essential. The peace and joy I'm talking about, it is when you feel that you don't have a friend in the world. You feel that your whole life is crumbling down. You feel that there's no one that loves you or cares for you. At that very moment, you need the peace and joy. All right? Now, I'm saying this is important. Why? Because let's take, for example, this mineral water. I put some dirt in it. Okay? And I start to shake it. After shaking it, what happens? The water becomes very milky. Right or not? Now, when I shake the bottle, it's just like when we are having problems that is so difficult, so tough. That is where our whole life has been shaken up. And that when our lives has been shaken up by those problems, whatever we see is very milky. And that is not the time to make any decision. Right? Now, when the water is very milky, what can I do? I need to just leave it down here for a while. It might take a few hours for the dirt to settle. Right? When once the dirt is settled, the water becomes clear. I can see clearly. And that is the time to make decision. But sad to say, many of us, right? Many of us, when we face problems, when we go through difficult times, and we are desperate to make a decision, and many of us jump to conclusion, we make instant decision, which turns out to be wrong because we can't see clearly. We are so clouded in our mind. And that is the time that the devil has a gala time throwing all kinds of suggestive thoughts into our head. So we cannot make clear decisions. We need to settle down. We need to cool down. Right? But how to cool down when we have a problem right in front of us? That is where the peace of God is essential. The joy of the Lord is essential to help us, to sustain us, to help us to be able to cool down and relax and wait upon the Lord. Right? So this is one. The next one is, actually there are many, but I'll just mention these two. The next one is, in James it says, when we have problems, what we need most important of all, we need wisdom, right? We need wisdom, and that is what James says. He who lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Right? And I will give it to you freely, and upbraideth not. He adding the word upbraideth not. These are things which I, when I was very young, I kena left, right, center. Sometimes I don't know how to do certain things. We go up to a friend and ask, hey, can you please help me? How to do this? Our friend turned to us and said, so simple, so don't know, so stupid. Right or not? That is what braideth means. But upbraideth not means that God will not treat us like that. You don't know anything. God says, you go to Him. He promised you wisdom. He will give it to you. And He will not treat you like that. And He will give it to you freely. It's a promise. It's a promise. Okay, so these are things that we need when we face problems. Now, I'm talking about able-bodied people. What more? The disabled. They have more problems. Right? They have more challenges in their lives, and they definitely need the wisdom of God to help them to overcome. A lot of them, they are stuck in their four walls. Every day they see the four walls. You talk to them about peace. You talk to them about joy. They tell you go and fly kite. Because every day I see the four walls. Right or not? But if they know God, if they experience God in their lives, they know that God is able to give them that joy, that peace. That is how they can come up back again. So these are things which are, that's why Eden is a Christian organization. Not because I'm a Christian and you must join my religion. So we encourage them to pray. We encourage them to pray. We encourage them to praise God. That is why every morning we have devotion. Okay. We have recreation and fellowship. We have taken them to many places. This is just a few, visiting Taiping Zoo. There is Genting. We have taken them to Pangkor Island, to Langkawi. We have taken them to all these places. We have two objectives, actually. We have two objectives in doing all this. One is that exposure. As I mentioned, a lot of them, they are stuck. Every day, they only see their four walls. They don't know. To them, the world is only the four walls. But there are a lot of things out in the world you and I know, right? So we want to have these activities for them so that we can bring it out. They can be exposed. They can be aware of the world. And that will encourage them to come out even more. And when they want to come out even more, then the next thing we say, yeah, you got to work, oh? Then you can come out some more. Okay? So that is why we have all this. The second goal, the second objective is a very sad thing. Disabled children don't live with us long. Eden itself, I have lost a few of the children already. Very young, they died. Sad case. We have experienced that. In fact, some of the children, they pass away. I just come to know of one volunteer who was so affected by it, he stopped coming to Eden to volunteer. I met him, I said, so how come you stop coming to volunteer? He said, oh no, because when your children die, I just couldn't take it. And they stop coming to volunteer. That's why to work in Eden, you need tough love. Without tough love, you cannot survive. Okay? And that's why tough love is the love of God. It's only the love of God that can keep us going. Now, I have two brothers. They perform wheelchair dance. They are able to perform wheelchair dance. So they we do give performance and all that. In fact, because of them, they are able to perform the wheelchair dance. I think Campus Crusade invited us to Sarawak, to schools, you know, to schools, to churches, to minister, and they did very well. They were a great encouragement to the students. And why is it that they are such a great encouragement? Because two of them has very beautiful testimony. One of them become a disabled because of drinking. He attended a friend's party, he drank, and then attended a friend's party, and then after that, on the way home, he went up. His house was on the fourth floor. Then when it was on the fourth floor, he felt that he needs to vomit. He turned over the balcony and vomited. That was the last he remembered. By the time he opened up his eyes, he was already in the hospital bed. And then after that, the doctor told him that, well, he cannot walk anymore because he fell from the fourth floor. So there was this case. Another one was without legs, two legs. Why he lost his two legs? He was a normal person, but he lost his two legs because of drugs. How he lost his two legs because of drugs? He jabbed one leg. After jabbing one leg, until that leg got gangrene. So the doctor got no choice but to amputate. After the doctor amputated one leg, he jabbed the other leg. He jabbed until the other leg also got gangrene. Doctor got no choice but to amputate the second leg. After doctor amputated second leg, the first time I met him was in Komta, crawling, begging for money. So when I saw him, I went up to him, I gave him my card. I says, if you need any help, give me a call. I asked him, why is it that how you lost your leg? He told me it was accident. Of course, he bluffed me at that time. You know, so then after that, his sister came to see me, came to Eden actually, wanted to help him, found out that, oh, it was him. Then I got him, sent him to a drug rehab center. So I would like you all to know, until today, I'm still helping drug, although I'm very involved with Eden Handicap, I'm still helping drug addicts. So any of you Normally people won't say this, lah, but I will tell you, if any of you do have people who are drug addicts and you want to help them, you can always refer them to me. Don't worry, I don't shun them off. They might shun me off, but I won't shun them off. Okay? So you can refer them to me, because until today, I still help drug addicts. So he lost his two legs. Then after I sent him to a drug rehab center, he got himself rehabilitated. After that, he says he likes to come to Eden and work. So now he is working in Eden. Not only that, he tackled one of my staff. And today they are happily married. Today they are happily married. Praise God. Today they are happily married. And he is also doing the wheelchair dance. Okay? Demonstrating love and compassion to the disabled. Volunteers coming over to help us. I'm very thankful to your church that will be coming over to Eden to help us refurbish our that woman center. We're at the present moment, actually the figure has gone up. It is 160 over already by now. The number of disabled that is under our care. Okay. My expenditure is 80,000 a month. You ask me where the 80,000 come from? I don't know. When I came back in the year 2000, I left Eden for a while. Although I was the co-founder, I left for a while. I came back in the year 2003. When I came back, before I came back, the expenses was already 50,000 a month. So before I came back, I knew I'm a lousy fundraiser. I'm a lousy fundraiser. I don't know how to raise funds, man. So I told the Lord, I says, God, you want me to come back to run Eden? You have to provide. The time was only 50,000. I says, you have to provide the 50,000. Because I don't know how to raise 50,000 a month. Because in my mind, I always think, firstly, how many rich men I know? Out of the number of rich men I know, how many can give? Out of those that can give, how much they can give? And out of the amount they can give, how many times they can give? I calculate it. No way I can hit 50,000 a month. No way. So I turn to the Lord and I say, God, you got to provide. Because if you don't provide, I will sell off. I will close shop. Because I can't, where am I going to find 50,000 a month? But instead of closing shop, as you can see, when I first came in, no woman center. Today we got woman center. When I first came in, no taxi service. Now we got taxi service. Now we are expanding to 7 fleet taxi service. So it's going to go up to about 90,000 now. From 80,000, it's going to go up to 90,000. All I can say is that I have to trust God. That God will provide. But God, if you don't provide, I'll close shop. Never mind. Okay. Actually, our management costs are very low. Only 15%. Now, this chart, our major bulk is from public donations. That's why, in a way, I would like to say a very, very big thank you to all of you. Eden Handicap Service Center started in 1991. Till today, we are mainly supported. Yesterday I say we are not supported by these big business enterprises, but we are supported mainly by each and every one of you. What do I mean by that? We are supported by the general public. Most of our funds comes from the general public. So I'm thankful for all of you that has helped us and contributed. And then, of course, our sheltered workshop includes the recycling, the cleaning service, our handicraft unit. Parents' contribution quite low. And then government grants at the present moment, zero. I don't receive any government grants. But they do refer cases to us. Okay, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate this opportunity to come and share with you about the work of Eden. I think now you all have a clearer picture. A lot of people thought Eden is just very small, but actually we are a little bit like a small SME, small medium-sized industry. And our expenditure is 80,000, is no joke. I have to really trust God, and sometimes I have to honestly say, God tests me and really put my send chills up my spine, because the accounts can go so low. You know, you employ people, you promise salaries and all that, and then if you couldn't pay people, then it's not right. And then they have their own personal commitments. They could have buy property or take bank loans, and they have to service their bank loans. And then if I couldn't pay give them their salaries, then it will affect them also. But nevertheless, to all these years, God has remained faithful. God has been providing. And I trust that He will continue to provide. One of the things that I will really, really request from all of you is remember us in your prayer. Now, I say remember us in your prayer also because in our center, many of those disabled, firstly, we have the physically handicapped, then the intellectually disabled. Because the intellectually disabled, they have also mental problems. So we have to help them with their mental problems. And because we help them with their mental problems, we gain some experience in dealing with mental patients. From here, we open up to mental cases as well. Now we are helping people with mental cases as well. But when we help this category of people, we notice a lot of them are demonic oppressed. Or some of them has demonic influence in their lives. We have. That's why just now you saw some of them, they get up. Oh, this is small matter. You see some of my guys here, sometimes they get up, they talk a little bit. This is small issue. You haven't seen my guys sit down, all of a sudden shout, scream, and then, you know, in the midst of a service, you know, that kind of a thing, because the thing manifests while in service. So at that time, we have to try to cast it out and all that. And sometimes these things takes long time. Takes a long time. So I've gone through all that, and I'm thankful to our brother Jared, who has come in to join us to help me in the spiritual aspects. So we need a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer that your healings can take place as well. Just share with you, in closing, just allow me to share with you one testimony. There was this brother, his tummy bloated up. We sent to the hospital, found out he's in pain, found out his intestine got twisted. We sent a few times. After that, doctor says, no, they had to do a surgery to open up the stomachache. You know, open up so that the stool can come up from the side. I say he is intellectually disabled. If you open up that thing, he will not know how to take care of that thing. We have to take care. I don't have the staff to really take care. So I say, God, you have to help me. You have to heal him. Because if he open up the thing, I say, boy, I really don't know how to handle the case. Now he is here. Actually, his name is Hyam Kwai Singh. You know, so so we prayed. I prayed to the Lord, and he was on medication. He was on medication, and even in the midst of the medication, he recovered. After he recovered, then he sent back to the hospital. Doctor kept quiet. No more talk about operation. Then after that, they say they want to off the medication. Then they off the medication. Until today, still fine. No pain, nothing. No problem. I thank God for this. So in Eden Handicap, we need this kind of a prayer. Pray for us. Remember us. We need healing. We need deliverance. We need finances. We need a lot of things. So remember us in your prayer. We really appreciate this. Okay? Thank you very much once again. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Brother Bertie. I'm sure all of us here have been touched, inspired. I think what we want to do is, you know, we've heard stories of how God's love has touched lives. And I think we should not just be entertained by these stories. I think that's the reason why we are hearing these stories. So I just want to ask you to just spend time and ask the Lord, you know, God, what are you saying to me? Is there something you want me to do? Is there a response that you require of me? For some of you, it may be to bless this ministry through a donation of cash. For some of you, it may be to volunteer yourself. Whatever it is, you know, I just ask that you just take time and allow the Spirit to speak to you. And say, Lord, I'm here. I've listened to this. I've heard testimony. I've heard of the work that you're doing through this, through Eden Handicap Services. How do you want me to respond? And the Lord will speak. So let's just be quiet and still for a while.
me read to you the passage from which Brother Chun preached 2 weeks ago from Matthew 25. This is what Jesus said. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. I want to say to Brother Bertie, you have done well. You have cared for the poor, the sick, the disabled, the people that society would not give a second glance to. And we want to pray for Bertie, but before we do that, I would like Brother Bertie to come and pray for us. You know, the one thing that really impressed me was, you know, even though these people are physically, intellectually handicapped, and for people in that position, they would say, you know, I'm the victim. You bless me. You take care of me. You provide for all of their needs. But the thing that really impressed me was, even as they received blessing, they wanted to bless others as well. They wanted to bless other people as well. And so today, church, those of us who are well, physically, mentally, today we will do well to learn a lesson from our brothers and our sisters. To learn to be a blessing, to learn to give, to learn to love, to learn to show acts of kindness. If they can do it by the grace of God and by the Spirit and power of God, we have no excuse. Because we call on the same God. Because we have the same Holy Spirit. And we have a greater advantage. We are well. So Brother Bertie, can you come and pray for us? We will catch this heart of compassion. Pray for all of us. Let us open our hearts and say to God, Lord, I receive from you that I will be living a life that demonstrates love in practical ways. So Brother Bertie, pray for us.
Then before I pray, just would like to say that I'm doing what I'm doing is partly because of the calling. God called me many years ago when I was up in Genting Highlands. It is a calling, and God called me, and I responded to his call, and since then, I've not turned back. All I can say to each and every one of you is to respond to God's call. And one of the things that I really, the thing that God really touches me was his love for me. The reason I responded to his call was because I realized how much he loved me. I came from an average family. You know, we are not millionaires, but average family. My life was actually good and fine. But the reason I gave up everything and I wanted to serve God, because I said, God, you love me so much. When I rejected you, I turned my back on you. I make fun of you. Yet you love me. You find the trouble to take me all the way up to Genting Highlands to find you real in my life. And when I realized that, I tell myself, I don't want to work in the world anymore for money. I find that when you work for people, for money, people want to squeeze you tighter and tighter and just to get from you more and more. But I have not served God. I have rejected him, but yet he already gave me so much. And he gave me good family. He gave me a good wife. He gave me a good son. What more can I ask? He gave me opportunity to travel to Australia, to Hong Kong, to Taiwan. He has given me all this. All these brothers here, they don't even have a hope for tomorrow. They don't even know what tomorrow is. I've already had my fair share of fun. When I was young, I've got my fair share of... I go to the beach, I swim until I Now you tell me, I look at the beach, I'm scared of the sea. I don't want to go and swim anymore. I've gone fishing as much as I want. I've had all this life that God has blessed me with. That is why I say, God, it's enough. It's enough. I want to give my life for these people, the people that really need you, really need to experience your love. And I pray that each and every one of you will recognize the love that God has for each and every one of us. I tell you, had not been for God's love, I wouldn't be bothered. I really would. I left Eden for a period of time. And after I left Eden, I did not go and serve in other handicapped homes or any handicapped centers. Why? Because they are all non-Christians. I cannot share the love of God with them. So I wasn't compelled to go to all these homes and work. But it is only when God opened the door for me to come back to Eden. And that is where I came back and continued to serve the Lord. So I pray that each and everyone, I tell you, all of us that are seated here, we are really, really blessed. Truly blessed. Like for them, some of them, like this brother here, he was picked from the streets by the police and put in a Para Road hospital for 1 year. And they don't know what to do with him. So they call me up and says they cannot keep him for 1 whole year, too long. So they asked me whether I can take him in. I went and visited him. I said, okay, fine. I took him in. See, so many of them that are with me, I have to care for them from the cradle to the grave. I have to think in that terms because they are going to be with me for good. I hope Eden don't close now. I says, if God, you don't provide, I'll close shop. If I close shop, I don't know what's going to happen to them. Where are they going to go? You see? So I pray to each and every one of you that you will experience the love of God. Really experience the love of God and reach out to God and ask God, God, what can I do? What do you want me to do? Ask God. And I tell you, since the day I've served Him till today, I've not regretted. I've not regretted serving God and I've not regretted not experiencing a lot of things that I could have experienced or wealth that I could have attained for my personal self. I could have if I pursued those things. But I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Looking at all these lives that God is touching and blessing. So all I can tell you and encourage you is allow the love of God to really fill your hearts. Really fill your hearts. And as I said again, that it is the love of God. In fact, when I was in a drug center, I worked for about 3 months. After 3 months, initially I tell myself, working with drug addicts, no problem. No big deal. I've got soft spot for people. So no problem. After 3 months, my heart, I was saying, boy, if I got a gun, I'll kill you, man. Because they literally drives me up the wall. And I see that how ungrateful they can be. Why? Because there was one addict, the mother come pleading with us, please, Lord, take my son in. Please, Lord, never mind. We say, you got no place. Never mind. Let him sleep on the floor. Can't ready. Never mind. Please, Lord, take my son in. Pleaded with us. Finally, my leader decided, okay, Lord, we take him in. Coming in, after 1-2 weeks, I want to leave. I say, huh? Your mother pleaded for you, so difficult to come in. Now you just one word. I want to leave. I don't want to stay already. Just like that. I say, boy, if I got a gun, I'll kill you, man. So ungrateful, you know. But that is how it is. So it is things like, and it was at that point I realized, God, I don't have any more love for you. I don't have that kind of a love to work in that kind of a place. And I says, God, if I don't have that kind of a love, I'd rather not work in that kind of a place because I can't survive. And I won't be able to do any good. I says, God, you better fill me with your love. If you feel that drug center is where you put me, you've got to continue to fill my heart with your love. And I prayed to the Lord, and since that day onwards, I know God continually filled my heart with His love. It is the love of God that kept me going. It is the love of God that has helped me to reach out to. I work with drug addicts. I don't know anything about drug addiction. But it is the love of God that helped me to learn about them. When I work with disabled, I don't know anything about disabled. Zero. Totally zero. It is the love of God that gave me the patience to learn from them, that today I'm able to help them. So all I can say is that I don't know what ministry God calls you into, but the most important of all, it is the love of God. Pray that God will fill your heart with His love. After all, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment I give unto you. Right? So, let us pray. Huh? Let us pray. Father, I pray, Lord. I pray that you will continue to fill each and every one of our hearts with your love. Father, as a person that has served you for so many years, I know that it is only your love that can keep us going. It is only your love that has that can give us the willingness, the desire to learn, Lord, even from our trials and errors. It is your love that is in our hearts that will drive us on to desire to reach out to more and take up more challenges, Father, and to not turn down anyone or turn any problems away, but are willing, Father, to face them head on because of your love that is in our hearts that we know that can sustain us and keep us and lead us through. So, Father, I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters that is in Fetish Park Baptist Church, Father. I pray, Lord, that you will fill their hearts with your love. Lord, I'm sure you know, Lord, that the laborers are few, but the harvests are plenty. Even in Eden itself, Father, you know that we shortage of manpower. We shortage of workers, Father. Lord, I pray that you will continue to fill hearts, Lord. With your love, Father. That, Lord, your people, Lord, will desire to serve you. That your people will reach out, Lord, to the many, many, many more, Father, that needs to taste of your love, that needs to experience your love, that needs to know, Lord, that you love them, that needs to understand, Lord, how much you care for them, that needs to know, Lord, that whatever you tell them is for their good, that whatever you desire them to do is for their good. Oh, Father, only those that are in church that are able to go out and share this good news, this gospel, Father. Or else, who else is going to do it? I can't think of anyone else. But only those who have experienced you and who have tasted of your goodness and of your love. So I pray, Lord, that you will fill the hearts of your people, Father. That, Lord, that they will be constrained, Lord, as Paul puts it, to reach out, Lord, and to be willing, Father, to give their life for others, to be willing to sacrifice, to be willing, Father, Lord, to put up with all the difficulties, the inconvenience, the hardship, that they'll be willing to, Father God, that they may experience you and know without a doubt that thou art truly a true and living God, a great and mighty God. So, Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here. Commit them into your loving hands. Pray, Lord, that whatever that has taken place in this church today will not just go in one ear and out the other, but, Lord, it may find a resting place in their hearts and that in due time it will bear much fruit, Father. So, Lord, I thank you, I praise you, I worship you, for thou art worthy, Lord, worthy of all praise and glory and might and majesty. Thou art worthy. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Praise you.
Brother Baptiste, Wing. Okay, some of you don't know, Wing works also with Eden Handicap Services. I want to pray for them. Ask the elders to come, Chun and Kenny. Ask that you all stretch out your hands and bless them. You know, in my heart, I was thinking if ever Eden wants to buy an eighth taxi cab, will Ferris Park Baptist Church say we'll pay for the eighth taxi cab? Father, we want to pray for our brothers here. We lift up Brother Bertie to you. Thank you for calling him into this ministry. Thank you for his obedience to you. Thank you, O Lord, that you have helped him to see that he is working for treasures that the world cannot take away. Thank you, O Lord, that he's seen, O Lord, and he's responded to this great high calling upon his life. I pray that you will continue to give him wisdom. I pray that you will continue to help him to find joy in serving you. I pray you will enlarge his heart, O Lord, and his spirit, O Lord, to receive even more love for you, that out of his heart, O Lord, will flow love for the people that he's ministering to. I pray, O God, that you will enlarge his faith, that he will never limit what you can do through him. I pray that just as he has told us miraculous stories of your wonderful provision upon his ministry, I pray that he will see daily how you will faithfully provide miraculously for him and for his ministry. I pray for all the brothers and sisters who are currently being ministered to. I pray, O God, that they will find in Eden a place, O Lord, of love, a place of refuge, a place where they are loved and accepted, a place of safety and security. I pray, O God, that you will help them to learn skills, help them to gain knowledge, that will help them to live independently. I pray, O God, that most of all, they will experience you. They will have a love relationship with you. And they will know that there is no other friend who is truer than Jesus. I pray your blessing upon them. I pray, O God, that you will take this ministry to greater heights. The Lord, that through this ministry, O Lord, truly the name of Jesus will be honored and glorified. I pray that they will be recognized, O Lord, not just by the churches. They will be recognized by the public, O Lord. They will be recognized by the government, O Lord. And that God, that all praise will go to the Father in heaven because of their good works. Lord, I want to just commit them to you. I want to pray for your protection upon their lives. I want to pray, O Lord, that you will continue to bless them, continue to provide for them, O Lord. Continue to use them to glorify Jesus. And I pray for all of us, O Lord, you have spoken to us. I pray, O Lord, that you will help us to respond in the way you want us to, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you for your presence here with us, O Lord. And as we leave this place, I pray you will dismiss us with your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close the service here.